This episode of The Edge is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
You're listening to Trek FM.
What have you done out there on the edge of Federation space?
Hi, Brandy. How are you today?
I am fine, Bruce. How are you today?
I am good today. Thank you for asking.
You are very welcome.
Look at you. You're so festive with all the little ribbons in your hair.
Yeah, it's my thing.
It's your thing.
It's my thing.
Do what I'd you want to do.
I do it every year, starting the day after Thanksgiving and going through Christmas Day.
I know. It's exciting that we're about to hit Christmas in a couple weeks. And I'm just like freaking out about Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker coming out next week. That's like what I'm really focused on. So, you know, it's like, ooh, this is going to be an exciting few weeks.
Yes, you know? It will be. And at the time that we are going, which is 8:40 a.m. on Saturday, I will be on my 11-day vacation.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes.
Vacation sounds really good.
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere. It's just I'm not working.
Oh.
And I'm still getting paid.
That's good. I mean, even if you're not going anywhere, just to be away from work, I'm not taking that much time off. I'm taking like a few days here, a few days there, whatever. Some like have work intermingled in throughout. I don't know. We'll see how that goes, how I feel about it.
Yeah.
Everyone, thank you for joining us here on Live from the Edge. This is episode number 36. And this is an interesting Live from the Edge because it'll be the first time ever that we've done this where we're reviewing two episodes.
Yes, indeed. So,
yes. So, again, we always do these shows usually the night after a Discovery episode premieres. But with Short Treks, we usually do it the night of. But I had a conflict. And plus, since there were two episodes, we decided to do it the night after. And those two episodes are The Girl Who Made the Stars and Ephraim and Dot. So, Brandy Jacola, thank you for joining us on the live show as you always do.
Bruce Gibson, thank you for having me on the live show as you always do.
And thanks for everyone in the chat. We're looking at the clock and we're getting ready to go. And we're like, gosh, aren't that many people? Not much is happening. And now in the last 2 minutes, I look down and there's all kinds of activity. So everyone's like got in here and going crazy. So that's wonderful. We love seeing that. So we're going to start with The Girl Who Made the Stars. That is the one that they show as being the next episode in Short Treks and I guess production or release order, even though these two came out at the same time. So initial thoughts, Brandy, on this episode?
Well, I was super excited that Kendrick Green got to be daddy again. That made me happy.
Now, Kendrick Green is the husband of Sonequa Martin Green, who plays Michael Burnham.
Yes.
And here he plays Michael Burnham's father.
Yep.
Even though in real life that's her husband.
Yep. Acting. It happens.
Exactly. Yes, it does. Yeah, that was nice to see. So when I saw him, I don't know what your thought is, but you notice he's wearing a Starfleet uniform. And I thought it looks a lot like the uniforms they wore in Star Trek 09 on the USS Kelvin.
Mm.
Similar, but not quite, because I went and I did compare photos from Star Trek 09, those uniforms, to this one, and not quite the same, but there's some similarity a little bit to them. And it made me wonder if they kind of did that on purpose because it would take place in that same time frame. Because even though the beginning of that movie, when we see the USS Kelvin, that is that does exist in the Prime universe.
Yes.
So those uniforms exist in the Prime universe.
Yes.
So that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm laying down right now.
I'm picking up on what you're putting down.
It's all about the uniforms.
All about the uniforms. I'll be honest, I didn't pay that much attention to it. It wasn't in the forefront of my attention at all.
Yeah. I don't know why it wasn't me. I just remember looking at the uniform going, oh, that's different. Wait, it kind of looks a little familiar to me. I wonder if, but it's not, but close. It definitely kind of fits in with that. So yeah. What'd you think of the animated style of this short treks?
I liked it. I have an affinity for animation in all of its forms. And there are very few styles that I don't like. In fact, I couldn't even bring one to mind right at the moment of one that I don't like. So I did like the style of it. I really loved certain little details, like the fact that she had a stuffed tardigrade that she was sleeping with.
Yeah, that was a little odd to me.
I just thought, okay, is that just a reference? Or, because I mean, obviously they knew tardigrades existed because right. We know tardigrades exist. Just,
yes.
You know, I think they're cute, makes a good plushie. It works for me, but... Chris Littlefield is saying Rick and Morty. It's not the animation style that I have a problem with in Rick and Morty. It's the fact that Morty, I'm just not even going to go there. It's not the animation style. That's not the problem. My problem with Rick and Morty. I actually enjoyed the animation style. I loved, the hair on young Michael. It was very beautifully detailed.
Mm.
And there was a lot of, I like the way it was shaded too. Both the short treks. I'm having trouble speaking English tonight. That does not bode well. Both of the short treks, I really enjoyed the shading and the representation of shapes as well as the actual moving bits. So.
Gotcha. I didn't pay that much attention to the hair. You didn't pay that much attention to the uniform.
Well, hair is hard. Hair is really hard.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Especially in animation. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. I see some comments in here like Polar Express type animation.
Mm.
It's mentioned here in the chat.
Yeah. I've never seen Polar Express. I've just seen the trailers, so I...
Oh, I can't. Polar Express is weird to me. They got this kid in there. His voice, it annoys me. He's got, I don't know, he's got glasses and I think freckles or something. And he talks like this. And anytime my kids play that movie, I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't stand the voice. I have to leave the room. I don't know. It just, anyway, it has nothing to do with this. Rugrats. Yes, that's another one, David. Yes, exactly. That's another animation type thing we can do here.
Yeah, I didn't ever watch it, so I don't count it. So basically, I can only dislike the animation styles of stuff that I've watched.
Understood.
That's my rule. It's my rule.
Well, because, you know, when you want to turn down the lights, you say aluminum, right? Like little Michael says, no, it's illuminate.
That was adorable.
Wouldn't it be funny in an episode of Discovery, Michael actually like goes into a room and says, aluminum. I'm sorry, illuminate.
That would be the most adorable thing. And it would make me, it would fill my heart with joy. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. So this episode, The Girl Who Made the Stars, is actually referenced. That story is referenced in the season two premiere of Brother.
It is.
So there is a tie-in to that. So I remember seeing a preview of this short tracks and thinking, oh, yeah, that's that story that was Michael referred to in Brother. That's so cool. We're going to see that. So, and it takes place 1,000 centuries ago in Africa. The music starts and stuff. And we see the sky, and it's got the sun, which they worship. But then at night, there are no stars. So it's completely dark. And they have fear. They are scared of the dark. Just like little Michael is scared of the dark when it's bedtime with her tardigrade.
Where was the moon?
Oh, that's a good question. Maybe it didn't exist then.
Okay, sure. Let's go with that.
I don't know. That's a good question, because if the moon was there, the moon does reflect some light.
Yes.
Out at night, and so they would have that. Maybe it just wasn't enough light.
Okay.
Or maybe when the moon's not out at night, that's when they're really freaking out. It's when the moon's there that they freak out less. It's called a less moon freak is what they refer to it as.
Okay. I'll go with that.
So, but you know, when night comes, that is when the night beast comes.
And of course, it would be a big sneak.
Yes, and it's their fear about the, and they're known as the first people, whatever, the first at something. They're the first people. To fear too. The first people. And they forbid any of the first people to travel at night. Well, yeah, why would you? You don't have headlights. You have no stars to light your way. You don't want to travel at night. You would trip all over yourself, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, have they figured out torches yet? So maybe they don't have torches.
That's a good... Do we ever see them with a fire in their village? We don't, do we? Well,
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I'm glad they didn't do that, because that would be like, wait, they had fire. Why didn't they use it?
You would think that they had fire at that point, wouldn't you?
Maybe they don't know how to start fire. I watch Survivor. They don't always know how to start fire on there. They don't have a flint. Jeff's not there to go, here's a flint, guys, and go at it.
I'm sorry. I'm just thinking of an entire Eddie Izzard routine about the creation of fire, and it's hilarious. And there's a guy in it who's named Jeff, who's going to call it after himself. I'm going to call it Jeff. So now Jeff is synonymous with fire for me.
Jeff Fire.
just, you know, I'm going to call it Jeff.
Jeff Fire. Jeff.
Yeah. And that's pretty much, that was pretty much the joke. Jeff Fire, come in here and eat your salad. Because, you know, they couldn't cook things. So they had salad for dinner. Okay. Anyway. Love Eddie Izzard.
Impressed with Automated Joy's comment, because it's as bad as jokes that I say, and which is, she said, Automated Joy says, if there was a moon, then it would have been a Luna tune.
Yes, that was very good. and Chrissy, I also believe that Jeff is also the god of biscuits. So we're having a, she's an Eddie Izzard fan, so we're having a conversation.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Biscuits are different in England. They are. Basically, biscuits are hard cookies. That's what they are.
Okay, thank you for that.
And biscuits here are very different. Biscuits here are what they would call scones. Or muffins.
Right, I know. Yes, because, yes, in England, biscuits are more like cookies here in the United States. Unless, like, Oreos over there, they will call them cookies because they're round. Anyway.
Tangent City tonight.
Well, because you know, you don't say in England, you don't say, oh, I'm gonna have a chocolate chip biscuit.
They have cookies, but cookies are soft, biscuits right. are hard. Biscuits are like shortbread cookies, you know?
Yes,
that sort of thing.
Right. Like when I fly Delta, they have the Biscoff and they say they're cookies, but it drives me crazy because I'm really wanting to say, no, they're biscuits.
They are biscuits by English standards.
Why are we doing this show? It's my fault.
It's all my fault.
I'm going to get all serious now and get us on track. Okay. Like we're okay. So the chat's weighing in on biscuits and cookies now. Mm-hmm. So Brandy.
Yes.
What is the lesson that you learned from this episode?
We have nothing to fear but fear itself.
Oh, I like that line. Did you make that up yourself?
I did not.
Okay.
It's a historical quote.
You know, the thing I liked about this episode is because I think it was a reflection of Michael Burnham.
Mm.
You know, she helps to guide people through fear. There was a line here. She lifts people up because she is brave.
Yeah.
And I thought that is Michael. She helps to lift, you know, the crew members up because of her bravery and what she has done. And the whole thing about the stars and the light made me also think of the Red Angel, because she was a beacon of light in those episodes. So I saw a lot of parallels between Discovery, especially even season 2, and then with this animated short treks.
Yeah, I can totally see that. Well, and the little girl was portrayed as looking like Michael. So,
right.
you know, basically he was telling her a story and putting her like in the story. So,
yes.
And I exactly. liked that.
I did too. Because, you know, she's really envisioning the story as it's being told to her.
Yeah.
So she's envisioning herself.
Yeah, because it's a story about a little girl in Africa, so she could identify with that.
Yep. No, I thought it was a sweet story. I thought it was. I liked the animation. I thought it was great. I liked the music. There wasn't anything I really didn't like about it.
Yeah, and we got to see a non-humanoid alien life form.
I'd like that. Yes.
Yeah.
I want to see that really again. Nice.
Me too. Because you can do that in animation more easily than you can in live action.
Right. So, well, they could even make that alien as a CG character in one of the future Discoveries or Picard or whatever. I mean,
they could.
You know?
That is very true because, you know, they did that with a couple of species of the Zindi in Enterprise. So, because the insectoids were totally digital and so were the aquatics. So, mm-hmm. It's possible. It's possible.
Anything's possible.
It is.
I see several things in here that, in the chat, when I say in here, because, you know, it's a room.
It's a room.
there's been some conversations about Michael Burnham's dad is, and I don't remember from Perpetual Infinity, because we saw scenes of her past with her parents. Were they or were they not in Starfleet? He was Starfleet, but I mean, he wasn't like a Starfleet officer, like a starship officer type, right? But weren't they connected to Starfleet in some manner? I don't remember.
Well, I don't remember either. I just remember the connection to Section 31.
Okay, yes.
Which is part kinda? Of Starfleet, sort of.
Yeah.
So I would say yes, they were probably in Starfleet because they, but you know, their mission was science and engineering rather than being on a starship. So,
yeah. And even if for some reason they weren't officially Starfleet, like we think, but a subsection of or whatever, or Section 31, whatever we're saying, this episode takes place before that, so they could have been more involved directly in Starfleet at this point than they were later.
Yes.
You know, so that's always possible. Like you said, anything's possible.
Possibilities.
Okay, chat, anything else? What else do we need to say? Because these are short, so there's not like a whole lot to go on, like for hours. Even
really?
Though we could.
Not hours. Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was sweet, and I enjoyed the little lightning bug or firefly or whatever you want to call it that was going with her and helping to light the way.
Yeah.
Just nice little things like that. I really loved the moment where the village elder tells her to go play. And she's like, oh, come on. Like, yeah, you say it, girl. Oh, come on. Go play.
Yeah. Yeah, and little Michael Burnham's like, that's rude.
It was great. It was a great moment.
So Chrissy in the chat says about, she loves the story, but there's a part of her that would like to have seen the character be a Kitty Uhura. Wouldn't be Uhura in there, like, as the African girl, like a little Uhura cute too? Because we know she's from Africa, so
that would be cool. Yeah. Yes, that is true.
Maybe we'll do another short tracks where she's telling the story.
Sure.
She's singing it.
Well, I understand why they did it with Michael, because it was her narration at the beginning of season two that, you know, introduced us to this story. So it makes perfect sense for me that it's Michael's dad telling her the story.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, I agree. But it is kind of a nice thought, too. Different characters. You know, yes, baby Uhura. Anime choices.
Almost everything is cuter as a baby. Almost everything.
So my wife goes around because we're watching The Mandalorian, and she just randomly says throughout the day, Baby Yoda, just like that. Baby Yoda, Baby Yoda. So when we get to this next short tracks, you know, while we're watching it, I shouted out, Baby Tardigrades, Baby Tardigrades.
Yes.
Yes. So anything else about this episode before we jump to the next one?
No, I thought it was beautiful. I enjoyed it from start to finish.
I did too. Next one, Ephraim and Dot. I ended up liking this a lot more than I thought I would.
I really enjoyed the way it started, like some old 50s science film, you know, educational film like they'd show in school. That tickled me. I really enjoyed that. This one was a bit zany. It was a bit Looney Tunes. Not that that's a problem for me.
No.
So I grew up with Looney Tunes, so that wasn't a problem for me.
It does remind me, like, especially when Ephraim gets sucked into, like, pipes and boom, 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 you know, I was like, yeah, this is reminding me of that Looney Tunes feel. But, okay, here's the thing, and I'm throwing this out to the chat, too. Ephraim, the tardigrade, is this the tardigrade that we've seen in Discovery?
Not necessarily. They do live a long time, but it's not necessarily the same one.
Okay. The reason I ask, I don't know, I'm a little hesitant to mention things here about this, but there's a novel, a Discovery novel, that comes out, or did it come out? I'm trying to remember now. It came out, didn't it?
I think
Dead Endless is what I'm talking about.
I think it comes out next week.
Okay. So, let's just say tardigrade is a, there's a part of the tardigrade is addressed in the book. And so that's why I'm kind of like, is this the same one or not? That's all I'm going to say. So anybody who reads the book, because I've already read the book, I got it early because I do Leary Treks, and we've already talked to Dave Gallander, who's the author of it. But I'm
jealous.
When you guys read it, you'll know what I'm talking about. So I'm just throwing that out there. I wouldn't think it's the same tardigrade because the tardigrade we saw in Discovery is blue. This one's more like green, has multicolors to it, and seems smaller.
Yeah, well, the tardigrades that we know are microscopic. Mm-hmm. So they obviously in this reality come in many sizes. That's fine. But I just because it's a tardigrade that are you being racist? Are you saying all tardigrades look alike? No, I'm just kidding.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
So I would not think that's the same one, but I guess it all has to do with proportion. And it seemed to me that we didn't really get any proportion with that tardigrade next to a human. I mean, the closest we get is seeing her look in a window where McCoy and Kirk are talking to Khan. What the H? So, that's the closest we see. So I don't really have a proper scale to compare it to, but it does seem smaller than a human. Because, you know, we don't really know how big the dots are either. Because we haven't seen them next to humans.
Yeah, but I get the sense that they're smaller than humans. I don't know how small, but smaller.
Yeah, well, big enough to carry a bunch of tardigrades.
Smaller than most humans.
Yeah.
Because not all humans are the same size, too. So.
That's true. That's true.
Okay, so several things. So, okay, tardigrades can move through time and space.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This could be the same tardigrade. This could be Ripper.
Possibly.
But the Ripper and the Ripper tardigrade we see in Discovery is an older version of this one that has come back in time to Discovery. I'm just...
Why is it important to you for it to be the same tardigrade?
Read the novel. Anyway, you'll know why.
Well, I will read the novel when it comes out.
I know. We'll have to talk about that another time. That's why I'm like hesitant, because I really want to talk about that.
I'm sorry. Well, you got to read it before any of us.
I know. I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize for that.
I'm not sorry, actually.
Okay. Oh, the truth comes out.
Yeah. So, oh yeah. Cause we're, like I said, we interviewed the author on what show? I'm not saying it.
Literary Treks. You've already said it.
I didn't say Literary Treks, did I?
Yes, you did.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Well, I just said it again. So there are several things in this episode that we get to see, lots of Easter eggs. They should release this on Easter, as much eggs there are in this. So, we see the Enterprise. Now, this is interesting because the design of this Enterprise that we see here at the start is more of the design we see on Discovery, that kind of slightly redesigned Enterprise. That's what we see. I have no problems with that. Well, it's kind of a mix. Like, there's parts of it, I think, that look more like the TOS Enterprise more so than it did on Discovery. I don't know. It's kind of a nice blend
of
the two.
Yeah.
So then, like you mentioned, we see Khan. We see, and we're hearing audio from that episode, Space Seed.
Yes. And
think about this, because when you said about we see Khan, it made me think, okay, how many times now has Khan appeared in Star Trek? Of course, Space Seed, The Wrath of Khan. What else? We've seen him in Star Trek Into Darkness. And now this. Is that it?
As far as I know.
I think do we see any like flashback? We don't see any flashbacks of him in The Search for Spock, right? No.
No, not that I recall.
So this is the fourth time we've gotten Khan.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very two-dimensional in this one.
Literally. Well, it was because when I heard the voices before we actually got to see inside the window what Ephraim was seeing, I was thinking, wait a minute. That's Shatner. What is... Oh. That was basically my reaction, was just, what is going... Oh, I see what you did there. And it tickled me pink, honestly.
Yeah, it was nice to see that. And Chrissy says in the chat, hoping for more dialogue from the shows like that and other stuff would be great too. So we see Khan. The tardigrade gets into the ship with Dot, because Dot's chasing the tardigrade away, and they're fumbling all over each other, and they get through the laundry of all the tunics from the officers.
Very Looney Tunes.
Very Looney Tunes. Oh, David Teak says, reference to Khan in DS9 when Julian is revealed to be genetically enhanced. So,
well, references don't count as seeing him.
No, but it's like a sub count.
Sub count. It's like half a count, but it's not half a full count. I don't know what I'm saying.
Okay, so then we see Tribbles. We also see Tribbles. And then we see Sulu with his sword from the Naked Time. At this point, I'm like, okay, now wait a second. These episodes are out of order, because the Naked Time was... Oh, no, wait. Yeah, the Naked Time was before Space Seed, but we saw Space Seed in this before the Naked Time. But that's fine, because the tardigrade moves through time.
Well, that's the thing, too, though. There wasn't a whole lot of through plot lines in the original right. series, so you could take stuff and mix it around and yes. have no idea that this came before that.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I'm with you on that. I'm glad you said it, not me, because some people hate that.
That's okay. I'm ready for your hate.
They can hate. But the thing is, this is really supposed to be kind of loose, you know, just to have fun. Like you're saying, Looney Tunes. I mean, come on.
It's just fun. It's comedy.
Okay. I'm going to throw it out there. I'm just going to do it for the chat. Okay. Is this canon? Is this canon? C-A-N-O-N. Don't put two double N's in the middle. That drives me crazy because it's not about a cannonball. Mm-mm. Is this canon? Okay, so let you guys ponder on that for a moment. So we see Dot. Live long and prosper.
Yeah. The thing is that if everything, this is the parameter that has been set, everything that we have seen on screen is canon. This was on screen.
Oh. Oh. Okay. Well, we'll get to that more later. What's everybody saying? They're saying, I see Chris Lowfield in caps, says yes, it's canon.
Yep, I agree.
Everything's canon. Hashtag everything's canon.
Yeah, I honestly am not a person that cares so very deeply about canon that I let it ruin my enjoyment of things.
I don't either. Obviously, because I do shows that about stories that aren't canon. But I will say the reason I'm asking this question is because, first of all, in my opinion, forget about canon. Like, pretend it doesn't exist. Let stories happen. But I don't think we should get so caught up in this animated short track to the point that people start arguing it against other Star Trek stuff.
Oh, you know? Sweetie, let me explain something to you.
No,
people
I know.
Are
I don't
hear- always going to oh. argue about this because there are always those kind of people. You can't stop that from happening. That just means we don't have to argue about it.
That's true. Well, if everything on screen is canon, so are those little serial tribble things, that little commercial at the end.
But I still think that was a delusion. But anyway.
Maybe this is too.
It quite possibly is. It was somebody's acid dream or something. Oh, one thing I also really liked is the whole part was, does it sense a predator? And then all of a sudden the Enterprise just comes out of warp right there.
Yes.
That was so great.
And that music comes on.
Yep. Oh,
Michael
so
Giacchino.
So many music Easter eggs too. So many.
I saw someone tweet to Michael Giacchino and ask, you know, we need the soundtrack to this. And I totally agree with that. I would love to get that. Not only did he do the music, now if anybody doesn't know, he did the music to the Kelvin timeline movies, you know, those theatrical movies. He composed that music. And then I hope there's somebody in the chat that knows about music, Chris Littlefield. And then Michael Giacchino also did the music for this and directed this animated episode, which I thought was really cool, because in a lot of ways the way this plays, like you're saying, Looney Tunes, music has a big part of this. It's really helping. There's a certain rhythm to the episode, you know, and how it flows, especially when they go and then to time travel and we see the big Apollo green hand.
Oh my Lord, yes, that's when I just started squeeing my little pants off. It's just, especially when it like comes to, you know, the battle with the Reliant, and I'm like, what is it? We're up to Wrath of Khan now. It's just going nuts.
Yeah, and then we saw the Doomsday Machine. We saw that.
Oh
then,
yeah, the Planet Killer.
Yeah, the Planet Killer. Then the Tholian Web. We got it caught up into that. Then we saw Abraham Lincoln.
Yep.
From the Savage Curtain.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, yeah, boom, we're into now the Wrath of Khan, followed by the search for Spock, Star Trek 2 and 3. And so I'm going to bring it up. And Brian, I know you've been saying it, but I've been holding this back. Did you notice the Enterprise says it's the 1701A in this when it's really the 1701?
Yeah. Somebody goo.
But it's canon.
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing. I don't care.
I know. I'm just saying.
I'm just, I am honestly kind of, the thought in my head is like, somebody didn't notice that before they went, you know, and added it all together. Anyway.
Yeah. I don't know. I have seen in like in past like art and things like, well, when people, there's times I see people refer to the different Enterprises and they say, oh, what's your favorite Enterprise? I say, is it the 1701 or the 1701A and then B, C, D, whatever. And I'm always like, okay, well, the refit Enterprise, yes, but that wasn't always the A. There's times I've had to say that, you know, I mean, they look the same. I like both, but it's that refit Enterprise was not always just the A. And I think people just like get caught up in that. And maybe they noticed it when it was too late, you know? First of all, when I watched it, I didn't even notice it the first time.
Or they put it in there purposely to drive people crazy.
That's exactly what Alex Kurtzman is all about. Man.
Yeah. And he's just sitting in his office and laughing his butt off.
He's like, they're paying me. I don't care what I do now. No. So here's the thing. So because the tardigrade can move through time and space, mm-hmm. he can also go through different dimensions. Mm-hmm. And maybe once he gets to that point, maybe it was, you know, maybe when they refit the Enterprise in some other dimension, they decided to relabel it the A. But the same events played out with Khan and the Genesis planet and all that. This is how I weave. I know. I don't care. It's fine if there's a if there's a mistake. Oh, well, whatever. But I do like to have fun at trying to figure out how it could fit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's half the fun is justifying it somehow.
Right. It's absolutely. Like I try to justify things to my wife. She doesn't always accept them. But when it comes to Star Trek, no one can tell me no. But my wife can tell me no. And you can too, Brandy.
Okay. No.
No.
I don't know what that no is about, but I'll think of something.
I don't know, but we had babies. Not you and me, but in this episode.
I was going to say, I can't do that. My body doesn't work that way.
Yeah, there were little baby tardigrades, which are great. So I love that. Okay, let me give you a little test some trivia thing here. The narrator. What
Kirk
do you know
Thatcher!
About the narrator?
There Kirk Thatcher!
I
Kirk
knew you would
Thatcher!
Know this.
I love that they got Kirk Thatcher.
Tell
was
people who
thing.
Kirk Thatcher is.
Well, people, Trek fans, will probably know him best as a punk on a bus playing his music too loud, and then Spock nerve pinched him into unconsciousness. That's Kirk Thatcher. He also had a cameo in Spider-Man Homecoming, standing on a corner with another guy with a boombox on his shoulder.
That's right.
And that other guy was yelling for him to do a backflip. I also saw him at a FanX a few years back. He was on a panel talking about the Muppets with my good friend and artist, Chris Bodley. So, yeah, I know exactly who Kirk Thatcher is.
So, if Kirk Thatcher is the punk rock guy in Star Trek IV, is that the character that's narrating the story for us?
Oh, I don't think so. I think he can play a different character, just like how Michelle Forbes has played more than one character in Star Trek. So we can just let that be. One thing I do want to say, and I've already forgotten what it was. Oh yeah, I remember now. That song that the punk was listening to on the bus, that was actually Kirk Thatcher song. He wrote it. Yes. And sang it.
That's true. I remember hearing about that.
Good times.
I like that show. Good times. which are going to do a live version on CBS next week. So off tangent again. So Chrissy says that before she saw the credits, she thought the narrator was Kelsey Grammer.
That never occurred to me. It didn't sound like Kelsey Grammer to me at all. It didn't,
but I can see that. I can see where she might think that. Well, you know, because hello, Seattle, I'm listening. He also played Captain Bates.
Yeah.
In Star Trek.
He has a Star Trek history as well.
Yes. So. Wait, okay, so David Teak says, I think the point may have been to get this canon discussion around the A, and we see Abraham Lincoln in space and Apollo hand, and that's all cool. Maybe they're just punking us. The punk guy is narrating the story to punk us.
There we go. That explains it all.
And he got his inspiration to tell the story because Michael Burnham sleeps with a tardigrade.
Yep. It all fits together, guys. All fits together.
So what'd you think of the animation of this one? We talked about the animation of the other one.
I like the animation for this one as well. It was fun to see the animated Kirk and McCoy and Khan for the little seconds we saw them. And I loved the tardigrade. And it was one of those things where when the Enterprise explodes, you're like, oh no, our babies! You know? That was traumatic for me as an adult. And so I was very happy that Dot saved them. But in any case, I liked the animation style. I think the shading was really exceptional on this one. I really, just really liked the way things looked. And the warp core, that looked so good and it so did, like it? The original. Just, yeah.
Warm and toasty.
It did. It made me feel warm and toasty.
Yeah.
And we all know that tardigrades can withstand levels of radiation that we cannot, obviously, or else they couldn't just travel in space. So
I was kind of hoping when we kept seeing the engine room that we'd hear Scotty's voice in the background at some point. We never did. Right? I think that would have been cool.
That would have been cool. I agree.
So yeah, Brian corrected me. It's Morgan Bateson, Kelsey Grammer's character. I know when I said Captain Bates, I was like, that didn't sound quite right. I forgot the Bateson.
Bateson.
So Christy's asking, does anybody think that Dot is intended as a reference to Spaceball's Dot Matrix?
No. Didn't occur to me.
Anime Joy says Punkception.
You know what that means now? That means that the Marvel Universe and the Star Trek Universe are the same universe. Except now they're not because, you know, Infinity War and Endgame. So never mind.
Yeah, it gets all confusing. I'm not even going there.
Time.
I was going to say, because of like, even like if you took the Star Trek crossover comics, you can start connecting things.
Well, they sure connected Star Trek and the Transformers recently.
They did. Yes, they did. It was fun. It was more like the animated series.
Yes, I agree. I enjoyed that.
Captain Bates is from Downton Abbey? Okay. See, they're all connected. It's the same universe.
Right. It's all connected. All of it.
All of it. Okay. Anything else that we haven't talked about, chat, that we need to cover? I think we got most of it, but it wouldn't surprise me if we missed something. Let me just look through some other things here, because, you know, I like to surf on the internet. to make that clear.
I was going to say, I don't think you're anywhere where you can surf, but...
Oh, here's an interesting piece I found from Den of Geekdom for Ephraim, that the Enterprise computer voice is played by Jeanette Goldstein. And she is famous for her role in Aliens as Vasquez, but she's also known for playing a bridge officer on the Enterprise B in Star Trek Generations.
Yes, I did see her name, and I was going to mention that, and then I forgot about it until you mentioned it again. But yeah, I recognized her name immediately, because I'm a huge Vasquez fan, and she is a chameleon. She has been cast as different characters, different guest characters on the same show, like, 5 times. Like, if you go through her IMDb page, you'll see, yeah, she's been on Law and Order 5 different times as 5 different characters, and every time she's unrecognizable from the last part she played.
Where's she on the bridge of Generations on the Enterprise B? Do you remember? I wanted to go back and look at that, but I didn't get a chance to really do that. So
I haven't had time to do that either. But I didn't recognize her at the time. So at that time, the first time I saw it, anyway. And then when I was looking at other things that she had done, and I was in that. Wait, what? So. Just go back with the pan and scan and see if I can freeze it at the right time.
Well, I'm just curious. I see some people in the chat saying that they like Ephraim and Dot as a favorite. There's only two people that said that at this point. So I'm just going to ask the chat, which one was your favorite of the two? You don't even have to answer that if you don't want to pick favorites, because maybe you like them both the same. I don't know. Maybe you don't like either one of them. I haven't heard anybody say that they don't like them. If you don't like them, if you didn't like this version of Animated Trek, let us know. This is the first time we've had animated Star Trek since 1974. That's a long time.
Yeah, except I'm still older than
you. Yes, you are. And so am I, because I'm older than you. I would say for myself, Brandy, just so you know, I think I liked Ephraim and Dot better. I enjoyed it better because I went in thinking I was going to like the girl who made the stars the best. And maybe Ephraim and Dot, I'm sure that'll be kind of fun or whatever. But I think with the music and all the little, you know, flashbacks to past episodes, there was a lot of things that surprised me, I guess. And I was surprised that I enjoyed this episode. So all of a sudden it got elevated in my mind. And the girl who made the stars is like, it met my expectations. It didn't exceed them. That's where I land. What about you?
Okay. That's fair.
Well, you don't need to.
You know I don't like picking favorites.
I like them both, so, you know.
So, yeah, I like them both as well. They're two different stories. So, if you have a gun to my head and are forcing me to pick one, I don't. I just...
Yeah.
I love all my children.
Who made the stars, at the same time, think about it, but it there's so many parallels to Burnham and the... like. Oh, gosh. Now I don't know anymore. Anyway, but yeah, I think it's just that Ephraim and Dot exceeded my expectations. I really was going in thinking I wasn't going to probably like it all that much, but I did. So it looks like most in the chat kind of are on my side on that, on Ephraim and Dot, and your husband likes stars, the girl who made the stars. So yeah, I didn't see anybody who said that they don't like any of them. That's a good thing.
Yes.
So, yes, Brian, you mentioned in here, the next one is Children of Mars. That's the next short tracks. And thank you for mentioning January 9th, because I was going to look up the date. I knew it was that first full week, but I couldn't remember the exact date. So January 9th. Oh, really?
Oh, I could have told you.
Why?
I could have told you. Do you know why? Because it's the day I'm coming back from Nashville, and I told my boss I had to be home by a certain time, so we had to take an earlier flight.
Absolutely. I'm going to be in Las Vegas during that time. I'll be at CES, the Consumer Electronics Show. Maybe I'll see our Trek friends in Vegas while I'm there. Hopefully I'll have a chance to do that. Ooh, maybe I could watch that episode with them. That would be cool. So here's the thing, everyone, just so you know, this show, Live from the Edge, it's about discovery. And these short treks that we've been reviewing are all related to discovery. This next short treks is more related to Star Trek Picard. This is like a little prequel to Picard. So we'll be not be doing that episode on Live from the Edge. Just saying that. I want to hear everybody cry. Wait, no, okay. So, yes, we'll be not doing this live show for Children of Mars because it's not Discovery, and this is a Discovery show. But we'll still be watching it. However, just, you know, pay attention to what Brandy and I have on Twitter or something, because you know what? We can still do this and not be part of Live from the Edge. We'll just come on YouTube and do what we always do. And you're all welcome to join us. So keep your eyes and ears open, because if it ain't Live from the Edge, it'll be live from somewhere.
Yes. All of the yes.
Oh, yeah. And on Twitter, I am at Admiral_Rex. If you want to know what we do next month, Brandy, where can people find you on Twitter?
Brandywine 12. Brandy is with an I and the 12 is a number.
There you go. And yeah, so we'll keep you updated on that. So, oh, Brian's saying, can we do it for his podcast? I don't know. We'll see.
oh, juicy danglers.
So, Brandy, you want to do our closeout thing? And we need people to suggest.
Oh, no. Voice. No, I've already got one.
Oh, you got one. What is it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm going to do Kirk Thatcher narrating an old film.
Yes.
I won't be as good as he is, but. Nah. All right. Be sure to check out our Discovery coverage throughout the week. Live from the Edge will not return for some time until there are new Discovery episodes, and we don't yet know when that will be. The commentary will be available as Tracks from the Edge, and feedback will be discussed on Postcards from the Edge. You can catch the full analysis on the Edge main show, and join us for Notes from the Edge, if Chris Jones gets around to it. You'll find all of these in the main feed for the Edge and the Trek FM master feed. We'd love to hear your thoughts on Discovery. The best place to do that is the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook, where Christopher Littlefield will collect your feedback for Postcards from the Edge. You can also find us on Twitter at TrekFM or send us email using the contact form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose to send to a show and choose the Edge. We'd also like to thank our associate producers, Norman C. Lau, Tony Robinson, Thomas Paleo, Lisa Slack, Shoaib Mirza, Richard Rutledge, James Muldrow, Cornelia Reutner, Ryan Mallett, Chris Trabuzio, and Brian Malosh. If you would like to help us keep all of our shows going and even become an AP, visit patreon.com/trekfm for all the details.
And the film didn't break. That's great. That was great.
Thank you. It was fun.
Well, speaking of Brian Malosh, he did ask Live from the Line. We don't know. Let me just go back to say this show again, Live from the Edge is just Discovery. When I say that, oh, I don't know, maybe Brian and I will do something. That would just be, I'm not saying we're even going to do that. Just saying, hey, we might just do that for fun on our own and you're welcome to join us. Will Trek FM do something live related to Picard? That is to be determined. Well, as soon as we know, you will know. Let's just put it that way. So, but be sure anything Picard to listen to The Line. That's the official podcast here on Trek FM related to Star Trek Picard. So listen to The Line. Chrissy is one of the hosts. She's in here in the chat. She's supporting us. Brandon and Justin decide not to support us tonight. They're not here. No, they had con- I'm kidding. I know.
Shade.
There's conflict. I've already talked to these guys. I'm just kidding. So
shade being dropped.
So yes, listen to The Line. If anybody's like, why is it called The Line? Because the line must be drawn here.
Yep.
From Star Trek First Contact, Picard says that.
Yes.
So.
And then he broke his little ships.
I always love that. You broke your little ships. Hey, speaking of Discovery, this would be our last Live from the Edge until season 3, which is coming out later in 2020. We don't have a date for that yet.
No, we don't. I'm still thinking it's going to be September. That's my personal feeling.
So I remember hearing a while back, I think it's around that same time, that the Orville is doing its season 3 coming out on Hulu. And I heard this like months ago and I thought, oh, that's so good. Cause at this point I didn't know when Discovery is coming out. And I thought Discovery is going to come out in around, you know, early 2020, like the past seasons. Like, oh, well, that's good. We'll get Discovery. And then when Discovery's done its season, then Orville has his, they won't overlap. And then they said Discovery's coming later in 20. I'm like, oh crap, they're probably going to overlap again. Not that there's anything wrong with it. It's just, I thought they always seem to be paired up at the same time.
Well, to be fair, season 1 of Discovery started in late September.
That's true, yes. So. But so did Orville.
Yes, well, that's the normal television season for regular networks.
There ain't no the normal anymore now. But yeah. No, you're right. September through May, network television is like the typical season and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And they still like to do the cliffhanger thing. Here's the thing. I'm talking to everyone who runs network television. I'm talking ABC, CBS, Fox, NBC. Stop doing season finale cliffhangers. You want to make sure I come back for the next season? Don't do a cliffhanger because that is just going to make me angry. Or and I will stop watching your show.
Don't do a cliffhanger and cancel the series. That has happened.
That too.
That has happened before. That too. So
just don't do cliffhangers. Just don't.
And we'll throw CW in there too.
Yeah. Well, and they did that with Next Generation. They did a season ender cliffhanger. Mm-hmm. And then people had to wait 3+ months. To find out. And it was such an anticlimactic thing.
You're talking about the best of both worlds. That was during that time, that summer between seasons is when I became like a born again Trekkie. Like I was a casual Trekkie fan. Like I was a casual Trek fan. I didn't like Star Trek much when I was a kid. But as I got older, I liked it more and I started going, you know, as the movies came out, cause yeah, I'm that old or whatever. I was there for every movie that came out and I liked the movies. Yes, you too, Brandy. We're both, you know, old. No, we're not old, but
we've
been around the block for this stuff.
We are like a fine wine.
Yes. And then I started watching TNG when it was on, but it wasn't like I watched it every weekend. Most of the time, if I was home and it was on, I'd watch it. But it wasn't until after that season of TNG, that summer, I just graduated college and I bought my first Star Trek novel and I started reading the novel. That's how I got into the novels. I started reading the novels and I was like, oh my gosh, this is what I saw on TNG last season and whatever. And like things were connecting. And then I hadn't seen all the episodes of the original series. And then I started watching the original series and I was like, oh, that was in a novel. And it was like, it all connected and I've been obsessed ever since. So yes. that's my born again Trekkie time right there.
Yes.
Does that even exist? Born again Trekkies?
Sure. Why not?
Okay. Why not? I don't know. I haven't heard anybody call that. I just thought it made sense.
I like it. I like it. You returned to the fold.
Yes. Yeah. It wasn't like I left it, but I'm just saying. you make a bigger commitment to it.
Yeah, well, it was always a big commitment in my house. If Star Trek was on, we were all watching it, period. So, didn't matter what series it was. It was just, I remember I was 14 when Next Generation started, and I just thought, okay, am I going to get behind this? And I'm like, no, it's Star Trek, it's Star Trek, it's Star Trek. Don't care. It's Star Trek, new Star Trek. So, you know, I'd never had new Trek in my life. So, I was very happy about it, and I've enjoyed every single series that has happened. And Brian Milosh says, oh, come on, Best of Both Worlds was a masterpiece. Don't diss it. I'm not dissing the episode. I'm dissing the big letdown at the beginning of part two, when it's Mr. Worf fire and nothing happens. It was all for nothing. Nothing happened. And I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
What? Yeah. There was, I think at that point I got up from the couch and like walked around the room for a minute and then came and sat back down.
Okay, wait, speaking of, hold on.
Holding. Oh my goodness.
I'm just going to say this ends the live show for those who listen to the podcast, because what I'm about to do now, you can only see on screen. So it doesn't make any sense for audio podcasts. So those who are listening, thank you for joining us. Those who are watching us live or who will go back to YouTube to watch this video, you can see this part.